God is so good, isn't he? Do you love him today? Come on, do you?
Yes.
We had a bit of heaven touch here yesterday, if you were here. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have a problem saying we love you, Jesus. Why do we have a problem down here? To embarrass what people what think about us. Couldn't possibly say I love that in front of everybody. Tell you what, I tell my wife I love her. I don't care where we are. We might be walking down the street, so I love you. Say to my kids, say to my daughter, we're out somewhere. Just grab her, give her a big hug and a kiss and a kiss and go, love you, darling. Never be ashamed to say you love Jesus. Say it often. It'll do you good. Thanks, Bianca, for putting up with me this morning. I was trying to help today, but he keeps saying to me, slow down, Pastor Orban, slow down. Story of my life. Slow down. I like to drive the songs, and she plays them gently. Last week we spoke, or last time I spoke, we spoke on the other side. Do you remember the other side? Yeah. And then we talked about the middle, didn't we? We talked about storms. Who was here for that? Do you remember it?
Yes.
Do you have a little quiz? We said that at times when we're going from here to there in the middle, it's a time when we can lose our sense of direction. It's like when the storms come and the waves come really high and they come crashing down, and we think the problem's the waves, and the problem isn't the waves, the problem's the wind that causes the waves. And we talked about us moving as a church from where we were to where we're going to. And part of that is we're going to be moving building. At some point, we can't stay here unless something happens here and it just grows bigger. Which I'm fine with that. Save me a lot of work. But we're moving to a different shore. But to get to the other shore, we can't be the same as we were when we started. It's no good getting to the other shore. Part of the reason that the disciples had to encounter that storm in their life was so that when they got to the other side, they were different. Does that make sense? And where we're going, we have to be different in our destination. God was to provide us with £2.5 million. Did I say £2.5 million? £2.5 million for another building. You might get an idea of what it's going to cost us. But we're not different. All we have is just a £2.5 million building, and we're the same. So we have to change. We have to be more like Jesus. We have to learn to trust him. We have to learn to know him in ways we've never known him before. We need to encounter Jesus in very powerful ways. We cannot afford to go around in circles. We just can't. And we mustn't. And I mustn't and you mustn't go around in circles. Too old to go around in circles. I haven't got the strength to row like I used to. I can use all my energies to get to the other side, but I'm not going to go around in circles. Went on holiday many years ago as a family. We went on holiday to Gran Canaria. Anybody been there? It was great, very hot. No wind, no air conditioning. We decided to go on a boat ride to Lanzarote. Or was it Fuerteventura? Fuerteventura. Come on, one of them. I managed to get us on as a family on the right boat, which was always helpful. I've not done that at times. Got on the wrong boat. Esther and I went on holiday and we got on the wrong boat. She said, it's the wrong boat. I said, don't be silly, it's the right boat. Come on. She said, no, it's the wrong boat. It was the wrong boat. We ended up coming back. This time I got us on the right boat, and we're sitting on this boat, and the sea's beautiful. There were dolphins. Wow. And then there were flying fish. I said, Esther, flying fish, flying fish, flying fish. She said, don't be stupid. They were flying fish. Same boat, coming back. It was a couple of hours later, that was all. The sea was not flat. The sea had changed tremendously. The waves were high. Everybody was inside the boat apart from me and another person Do you remember on the front of that boat? Everyone closes the doors, and I'm standing on the front of the boat, hitting the waves, whack, throwing me from side to side. My wife's going, oh my goodness, mate, is that it again? Do you remember that trip? You tried to stand by me, and you went flying back. That was on a trip when you were poorly on the yellow submarine with the bad ears. Do you remember that one time? Anyway. Different story, same place. And basically, I'm holding on as for dear life. It's throwing me from here to there. And everyone's just looking at that, what an idiot. But we got there, we got back, and I loved the journey. I thought that was great. It was fantastic. I don't mind a bumpy ride. I don't mind standing on the bow of a ship when the waves are hitting us full on. And I'm going to give it my best till we get to the journey. I'm not afraid. Today, I want us to talk about Paul. I want us to look at his sea adventure in Acts chapter 27. We're going to look at that. And you know, if you've been on a boat, that you can go on a boat and it's beautiful, and then all of a sudden it changes, and it can change so quickly. And we have to be aware, the storms of life come really quickly, don't they? Where's that come from? When I started out, everything was fine, and then all of a sudden it's got choppy, and now I'm being thrown from one place to another. And when the storms of life come, when the winds of life, a country, come against us, when the waves come crashing down, our focus is to focus on the circumstance around us. But remember that the circumstance is not necessarily the problem. It's the wind in a storm that is the problem. And we said in that sermon that we need to see things from God's perspective. Does that make sense? When we're in a storm. What is the source of this storm in my life? Is this something that the enemy, the snake, is coming to bite in my life? Is this an attack from the enemy? Is this just something that happens in life to everybody? Or is this something God's allowing us to go through, to see it, so that when we get to the other side, we're going to see things in a different way and we're going to know him in a much better way? I hope that we'll learn something from Paul's sea adventure in Acts 27. And today, we're going to look at things called anchors. Can you say the word anchors? In autumn of AD 60, Paul, with over 200 other men, many of them were prisoners, got on a boat for Rome. This was Paul's final missionary journey. At the start of this journey, Luke writes, he's going with Paul with another guy. There's three of them travelling together on this boat. And Paul is under the watchful eye of a Roman centurion called Julius. First part of the journey, on the way to Crete, to Myrna. Beautiful. What a great journey. They arrive. And Paul, who is also a prophet, says to Julius, in the words of Robin Baker, mate, I don't think this is a good idea to carry on with this journey. It's between October and December. This is the worst time to go from here. I don't think we should go. And Julius goes, well, I don't care what you think. We're going, mate. So they start off on their second leg of their journey. Everything starts well, but then the storm hits. The storm hits them with full force. This centurion's decision has put the whole life, every life, on that boat at danger. One man's decision has put the life of them all in danger. And as they start, they hit this storm called a uroquillo. Does anybody know what a uroquillo is? A uroquillo is a storm that's of hurricane force that dumps shed loads of water on you, and sometimes ice and sometimes snow. That's what they're in. It's not just a little storm coming from the east. This is a full-blown hurricane storm that just dumps piles of water on you, snow and ice. This is the scenario that they find themselves in. And so they think, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? So they get all they've been tossed to and fro. They get all the cargo, they throw it overboard. Maybe that will help keep the boat safe, because the boat was heavy with cargo. Didn't work. So what they do is they jettison their steering tackle. They're no longer able to steer a boat because they've thrown it overboard. Because if the boat starts to get too heavy, it's going to turn over. And so we get rid of the heavy stuff. So they can now no longer steer. And this is going from bad to worse. On top of that, their sat nav broke. Anybody have a sat nav that breaks or doesn't work? They can't see. Their sat nav is the sky, the stars. They know where they're going because they're expert navigations. They look at the stars. They can't see the sky anymore. There's no way they can find out which way they're going, and they're completely lost. All they're doing, they can't steer, is being tossed to and fro, holding on for dear life. And this lasts for 14 days. You can imagine the kind of situation. It says in Acts 27, verse 20, neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days, and the storm continued raging. We finally gave up all hope of being saved. Guys, this is it. We're done for. There is absolutely no hope we're getting out of this. Hardened soldiers, prisoners. There was no doubt that their survival was in question. There seemed no positive end for them. But God. Can you say the word "but God"? Say the next person to the person near you, "but God." I'm glad we've got a "but God." When all hope is lost, when we see no end in sight, when we think, guys, this is the end of what's happening, there's a "but God" moment. And we are going into a season of "but God's" moments, where God is going to show who he is. Anybody watch the film The Perfect Storm? Anybody got a clue what I'm talking about? And there's this boat called Andrea Gale. It's a fishing boat, I think, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it hits a Uruquillo. This kind of storm. It's exactly the same storm. Only this boat doesn't make it, and they're lost forever. I want to tell you, Jesus is going to get us to the other side.
Amen.
And we're going to be different.
Yes.
And that's why he doesn't sometimes stop the storm, because we have to learn something in a storm. And it won't be plain sailing for us. The first leg might be lovely. Oh, let's sit back and enjoy the sunshine. Have you been on a boat where you just sit there and lie in the sun? Those of you been on cruises, sit there, join the sun. Acts 27:29. 14 days have been driven by the storm. Something happens. There's a glimmer of light. There's a great glimmer of hope. Fearing lest they would run aground on the rocks, they dropped 4 anchors from the stern and prayed for day to come. They realised there'd been a change after 14 days, and there could be some hope here. They started to say, do you know what? There might be some hope. There might be something that's changing now. They hoped the daylight would show them exactly where they were. Maybe we can just spot something on that coast and work out where we are, because we just don't have a clue. They were panic-stricken. They were fearful. And in this panic-stricken time, this time where they're completely fearful, all these men, one man, a man that trusts God with his life, a watchman that learns to speak when it's right to speak stands up and says, guys, be of good cheer. We're going to get there. We're all going to do it. He stands up when there's no hope and he brings hope to 276 men. Because he knows his God. God has told him, you've got to go to Rome to stand before Caesar. In other words, what he's saying is, you're going to get to the other side. Oh, it's going to be a journey. And he goes, you know what? Be of good cheer, men. Do you know what this world needs to hear? Be of good cheer. Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world, is on the throne. And he has a plan. This story, Acts 27, is about a faithful God who keeps his promises. Do you serve a faithful God that keeps his promises? Do you believe that? Amen. That God keeps his promises. So it's about a faithful God who keeps his promises and, say the word and, a man who trusts that God will keep his promises. Does that make sense? See, God could just say, get the other side, and Paul says, I don't believe you, God. All hope's lost. I'm just going to die and perish with everybody. And he could have done. But he believed that God was a God that kept his promises and kept his word. And he clung on to that and he held on to that because that's all he had when he was throwing up on the side of the boat for 14 days. God, you keep your promises. I feel so ill. But Lord, I know you keep your promises. And he hung on. The anchor was God's word. In his journey of faith, he chooses to believe God. And because he does, others are saved. Do you know that? Others will be saved if you choose to hold on and believe God. They will look at you. You will inspire them. And they'll go, come on, I'm getting get up from the floor. I'm going to carry on. And I'm going to keep going. And I'm going to make it. And he inspired them. Sometimes storms in life last for days. Sometimes they last for weeks. Sometimes they last for months. We will never get away from storms of life. And in these storms of life, they dump stuff on us. Ice, snow, buckets of water, whatever it is. These storms dump stuff on us, which we don't want. We don't need it, do we? Why is this happening to me right now? Often storms are wildly out of control. I want to say to you, if you are in a storm today, be encouraged. Be of good cheer. You will get to the other side. You might, well, I don't feel cheerful, actually. I feel downright miserable. Please don't give me hope. I just want to be miserable, because that's all I've got to hold on to. Be of good cheer. You will get to the other side, because God is faithful. If he's made a promise to you, he will honour that promise. What you and I need to do is hold on to it and grasp hold of it and believe that he is a God that keeps his promises. Amen? Amen. Sometimes we pray, God, would you calm the storm? God, if you really love me, you change that situation. Anybody prayed that? Anybody want to be honest and pray that same? Do you love me, God? Because why are you allowing this to go through me, to go through this and my family? Has anybody prayed that? Anybody not prayed that? Sometimes it might be a storm that has come from God. That's why we need to hear from him. Are you trying to teach me something here, God? Are you trying to get me to learn something? Are you trying to get me to become stronger in you? Are you trying to build my faith on this journey? Are you trying to get me to be a different person than I was on this shore, so when I get to the next shore, I'm just going to be so, so different? You may be waiting and praying for daybreak. There may be all kinds of questions. You may have fear inside. There may be panic. There may be unexpected waves of doubt that come slamming down around you. You may for years be strong in your faith and then something happens and you question it. Does anybody question your faith? You may have gone for 20 years in your Christian walk, 30 years. Something happens, you go, oh gosh, do I really believe this? Because you know it's in the storms when we really know whether we believe something. Not on the mountaintops, when world's going beautiful. Everything's going fine. Oh yeah, we love you, Jesus. We completely trust you, Jesus. And then the storm comes and then we know whether we really love him and whether we really trust him. Maybe we think things are going to get worse now. What do we do? What can we do? Well, this is what we do. This is what we can do. How many boats, how many anchors did the boat put down?
Four.
So why don't we talk about four anchors that will help us on our journey? Do you think that would be a good idea? So let's explore four anchors that we can put down to strengthen our faith and to keep us from despair and difficulties and taking our eyes off Jesus. Is that okay? So let's look at the first anchor. The first anchor is the anchor of stability. Say the anchor of stability. Let's look at Acts 27. When neither the sun nor the stars appeared for many days and the storm continued raging, we finally gave up all hope of being saved. After the men had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice." Should have listened. You ever heard that, "Men," when your wife said, "I told you"? Why are you laughing, men? You know it's true. My wife said to me, "Why don't you ask?" "I'm not asking. We'll find it in our own way." And get lost an hour later. You should have just asked, Robin. "You should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourself this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed." There is consequences that happen. Can't save everything. "Last night an angel of the Lord, who I am and whom I serve, stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. For I have faith in God. For I have faith in God." When you're in a storm, tell yourself, tell others, "Do you know what? I have faith in God." And we'll see why in a minute. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island. The anchor of stability holds firm when our navigation system fails. When the things we're used to getting us from A to B, when that comfort system fails. The anchor of stability holds us firm. Life may not have gone as smoothly as we wanted, and then suddenly circumstances change. We weren't expecting that. You ever thought yourself when you have a storm, "I wasn't expecting that. Didn't see that coming. I might have looked for something else, but didn't think it was that. I didn't think it was that person that would do that to me. I didn't think it would happen in that way. I didn't think I'd lose my job. I didn't think that, you know, life was fine and then slap in the face like this. I didn't think that would happen. Don't know what to do now." And these are times what I call treacherous moments in our journey, when we can lose hope. Friends, I've seen people lose hope. I've seen people do all kinds of things to themselves and their family and make all kinds of decisions because they've lost hope, because their sat nav has failed. Because of the way they've coped before with problems, they've done it in their own strength. And there are times when we cannot do things in our own strength. But I want to say to you, when we come to those crises, there is a situation where God will step in and he'll say to you, there is no plan B. Do you remember we talked about only having plan A? And sometimes we can only hear what plan A is when we get to the end of ourselves, because we're too interested in our own plan. And that's why sometimes a storm happens. How many people have given their life to Jesus because they've been at the end of it? They've had enough. They can't cope with life anymore. And then Jesus says, oh, I have plan A for you. Would you like it? And you go, yes, please. I'd love it. If that's you, God bless you. Before Paul's sailing companions reached breaking point, he offered them hope. Let's look at this verse again, Acts 27:25. So keep up your courage, men. Keep up your courage, men. When all we can see, when all they could see was the waves crashing around them and the water being dumped on them, Paul boldly declares, we are going to make it. He stood up. He did what was right. He did not remain silent. He spoke because he knew his God. And there are people today, as I've said before, need to hear this. And it's time for this church. It's time for me. It's time for Pastor Manuel. It's time for Andrew. It's time for the leadership. It's time for every one of us to stand up and say, be of courage to this world. They need to hear it, because they're lost and they're being tossed from side to side and they don't know what to do. And many people have lost hope. Is that not true? It's time for us to do that. We find stability in storms through what God has said. We cannot turn to another source for strength. This is, at times in a storm, this is our source. Do you believe that? This is where God will speak to you. Yes, he'll speak to you through the Holy Spirit, but he'll open these scriptures and you'll rethink and go, I didn't know that. God will give you a word and you'll just study, I never knew that. Wow. And this will be our anchor of stability. Know the word of God. Know what you believe. Hold on to it. Cling to the word of God. It is your anchor of stability. The prophet Isaiah gives this amazing scripture to those people that believe in their God. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. Do you believe that you're his? Do you believe that he's called you by name? You're not a Christian by accident. He's gone, I want him. I want her. I'm calling you. And when you gave your love to Jesus, he was calling your name. And you went, at one point, yeah, I want it. Then he says, when? Not if. Doesn't use the word if. It might happen, so just be prepared. No, it says, when. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over. And when you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. What an amazing scripture. When circumstances threaten our life, Jesus said, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. You're not on your own. There are circumstances you might go through that I can't walk through with you. As much as I might want to, as much as my heart might break to try and walk with you, I can't, but he will. And it's better that he is than me, because he's much better at things than I am. When we see, all we see is the waves and the hurricane and the pressures and the circumstances, I'd like you to think about this and to speak it out. I know that you are in control, and Jesus, I know I'm going to make it to the other side. Even if you don't feel like saying it, declare it. I know, Jesus, you are in control, and we are going to get to the other side. Speak it out. Speak it into your soul. So the first one is the anchor of stability. The second one is the anchor, and it's a strange one, of unity. The anchor of unity. Can you say that? Acts 27:27-32. On the 14th night, we were all being driven across the Adriatic Sea. When about midnight, the sailors sensed that they were approaching land. They took soundings and found that the water was 120 feet deep. A short time later, they took soundings and found it was 90 feet deep. They're starting to have a different fear now. A different fear is arising. First of all, they fear they were going to die because they were going to drown in the sea. Now, they're feeling they're going to hit the rocks. You don't want to hit rocks in a boat, not good. The rocks win, always. They dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for daylight. Wow. They prayed for daylight together. In an attempt to escape from the ship, the sailors let the lifeboat down into the sea, pretending they were going to lower some anchors from the bow. Then Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay with the ship, you cannot be saved." So the soldiers cut the ropes that held the lifeboat and let it fall away. See, Paul knew that staying together was the key for their survival. Do you understand the spiritual principle that I'm talking about here? Staying together in the boat, as much as it's happening at this time, you've got to stay until it's time to get off the boat. Do you know what? When the storms come, the temptation is, I want to get off this boat. Give me a lifeboat. Help me. I'm a pastor. Get me out of here. I want to fend for myself. People go, I don't care about anybody else. I'm going to look after me. Numero uno. Spanish size. I'm going to look after myself. I'm not going to look after anybody else. Friends, as long as I can, I'm going to stay on the ship and help you. Don't jump ship. Unless God asks you to get on a different boat. Is that okay? Do you know, it's easier to cut and run sometimes. Our tendency is to cut and run. It's easier at the moment to walk away from difficulties. Human nature wants us to retreat, to be alone, to get in the house and lock the door and close the curtains and get into bed and pull the quilt over and hope the world will just go by. And it doesn't. And people, they go into despair. And some people in our churches are in despair now because they're isolating themselves. And the very place they need to be is here with God's people. But our natural tendency is to say, no, I'm not going to be here. I'm going to find my own little quilt and I'm going to roll up in a ball and I'm going to die. Is that a bit hard to say? Do you understand what I'm saying? Is it okay for me to tell you the way things are? This is what some people do. They cut and run. I'm looking after myself. And it's a disaster for them. That's why we need the support of others. That's why we need God's people around us. If you're thinking it's easier to lower the dinghy and escape, don't do it. Please. Stay with your spiritual family. Lock arms. I'd like you to lock arms with people next to you if you can. Just for a minute. Lock arms with somebody. Lock arms with somebody. If you're on your own, just move for a minute. Go and find somebody to die and that's it. Go and find another lady here. This is what we need to do when the storm comes. Lock arms with the person. Stay with them. You're going to get tossed around. You're going to get knocked around. You're going to get banged around. But I tell you what, you're stronger, better together. Have you heard that phrase before? You're stronger, better together, even though you've been tossed around from side to side. Please don't forget that. Thank you. You can sit. Take your seat. I'm going to be as quick as I can because few things I need to finish. We need the presence of God's people surrounding us when the bottom has fallen out of our life. I've done too many funerals of Christians who've gone into despair. and made choices for their lives, and they're not here. They're not in church, and they're not here. I've done too many, so none of us are exempt from this. You think, oh, I'm a strong Christian, I've been a Christian for a long time. Maybe there's a storm that might come that might rock your faith. None of us are too strong. None of us are Superman. You and I were created by God to make it together. The anchor of unity holds us close. Third one, the anchor of renewal. Just before dawn, Paul urged them all to eat. For the last 14 days, he said, you have been in constant suspense and have gone without food. You haven't eaten anything for 14 days. How many know when people are in despair and in depression, they don't eat? And when they don't eat, they can't think straight. And when they're not thinking straight, they spiral. Now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head. Sometimes people come to me when they're feeling depressed and I say, what are you eating? Are you looking after your body? Are you doing something to nourish your body? But you also need to nourish your spirit. I urge you to take food. You need it to survive. After he said this, he took some bread and gave it to God. Gave thanks to God in front of them all. Then he broke it and began to eat. Hang on a minute. The boat's about to break up and you're just going to have a prayer meeting and thank God. And that's what he did. He said, guys, we're going to have some food. But first of all, we're going to pray and thank the living God that we're all going to make it. 276 men, prisoners, Roman soldiers, people that own the boats, kneel, maybe for the first time ever in their life, to the living God. They're all equal now. They're all simple, sinful men. And Paul teaches them, do you want to get out of this problem? Let's start thanking God for who he is. Let's start thanking God for what he can do. We're going to have some food, but before we do and give thanks to God for it, we're going to pray, and they all bow in front of the living God, because one man chooses to do what's right. One man chooses to speak up. One man chooses to believe that God is the God of his promises. Is that okay? Are you still with me? Personal nourishment, eating well, is important. It's important that we eat well in life and eat sensibly. But it's important that we fill our spirit with the right nourishment, the spiritual nourishment that we need. Do you know one of the things we start to do when we hit a storm? We stop praying, we stop reading our Bible. That spiritual nourishment, we cut it off. We start to like do ourselves damage in our spirit. When the tough times come, stop praying. Am I just talking about me? I can't read my Bible today. Don't feel like it. You know, just not in the mood. The very thing we need to do is start to feed our spirit. Start to fill our spirit and eat well and feast on the word of God. And I can only encourage you, because I can't get you to do that, but you can get yourself to do that. And you can learn to do that when you're not in a storm. You prepare yourself. And we've nearly finished. I'm really sorry for taking longer, but I just want to get these over to us. It's a time when we get down on our knees and we go, God, I don't know what to do, but I know you know. It's a time when you get on our knees and fall on our face before God and we say, God, I don't know how to deal with this situation, but I know you do. And it's times like that when we seek his face, we seek his direction, and we ask God to fill us again with his Holy Spirit. And this is the time we're asking God to fill us again. And the reason he's doing that is because there's a journey we're going on. We're getting ourselves prepared for the next part. The boat did not run aground. Paul persuaded the guards not to kill the prisoners. Paul's faith and prayer spoke to the hardened centurions. These were hard men. You don't tell me what to do. parallel. I want to say to you that your faith in God, my faith in God, our prayers can speak and touch the hardest of lives. Don't worry about that. It's just a distraction. Sean, can you hear that? Our faith in God, our prayers can touch the hardest of lives. There are some people in here that were really hard. God's touched them. I was hard. I was a hard person. No one would win in a fight against me unless they took me out. If they didn't take me out, they were in trouble. I'm back up. God changed my heart. And you can go into a situation, in the hardest of situations, and by believing in God, knowing who you are in God and praying, you can change their hearts. Is that okay? Do you believe that?
Yes.
There's some hard-hearted people out there that need Jesus and need to be saved. The last one, the anchor of reality. We need to see things for what they are. But as the ships struck a sandbar and ran aground, the bow stuck fast and would not move, and the stern was broken into pieces by the pounding of the surf. Fran, that's great. The soldiers planned to kill the prisoners and prevent any of them from swimming away and escaping, but the centurion wanted to spare Paul's life and kept them from carrying out their plan. He ordered those who could not swim to jump overboard first and get to land. The rest were to get there on planks or on pieces of the ship. In this way, everyone reached land in safety. The reality was the ship had run aground and it was breaking up. The reality is there was a time now, this was the time they had to act together. They'd stayed in the boat, but now there's a point they're getting out of the boat because they're going to another shore. They all have to do it together. Everyone who got off the ship, everyone who reached the island had the same thing in common. They were soaking wet. They were soaking wet. Their clothes were wet. Their hair was wet. They were all in the same boat. They get out of the boat. Everyone was in the same situation. There's going to be a time when we're going to get out of the boat. We're going to get in different ways. We're going to make it. But we're going to get to the other side. But we're all going to do it together. And it's going to affect us in the same way. You might say, well, Pastor Robbie, my life is storm-free. I'm glad. You might say to me, you know, my life's fine. I'm glad for you. I'm not being funny. I'm glad that it's good. But it's not going to be like that forever. The best thing for survival in a storm is preparation. Do you know, no sailor will go to sea without preparing their boat. They will look at the charts. They will find the dangerous waters they need to miss. And they'll make sure they've got provisions on the boat. And, I didn't know this, it's illegal to leave port without two anchors on a boat. If you go out on a boat from port without anchors, it's illegal. You've got to make sure you've got at least two anchors. We're going to have four in this church. We're going to make sure that we have enough. If your life is storm-free, take the advantage of this and discipline yourself to spend time in God's word to prepare yourself. Study the inspired charts. Study the inspired charts that God has given you in his plan A to strengthen yourself. Deepen your walk with him. Know what you believe. Apply the promises of God to your life. If God has said it, believe it. If God has given you a word, get it back out. Start speaking it over yourself. If God has said something to you, it's going to happen to you about your children. Get the word out. Hold on to those promises and start believing them now. Because, church, we're going on a bit of a sea adventure. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
We have four anchors. Listen to them again. that'll be going out soon on that. Is Marcus back? No? Okay. Would you just stand with me for a minute? Andrew, could you go and get Marcus? It's all right, someone's gone, Andrew. It's okay. Well, your anchor hold in the storms of life. Anybody know that song? Father, we thank you. You are a good, good Father. You do amazing things for us. And as a Father, you have amazing plans for this church. For every individual, from the oldest to the youngest, you have an amazing plan. But Jesus, you have never said to us that life will be easy. What you've said is, I will be with you always. That is a promise for each and every one of us today. And in plan A, there are storms of life that will come that will help us to change us, so that when we get to the other side, whilst we're in the middle, we learn to trust you. We learn to navigate through your word. We learn to hear your voice. We learn to nourish our spirits and our souls, and to strengthen us. And Lord, on this journey, there will be days when we can sit back and enjoy the sunshine. There will be days when the sea is beautiful and it's just wonderful. And there will be days when it won't be like that. But Lord, I pray that we as a church would be ready to speak up and encourage others. Be of good cheer. There is hope for you. I pray, Lord, that when storms come, people would not get into a lifeboat and say, get me out of here, and isolate themselves. And I pray for anybody in our church that's isolating themselves at the moment, that, Lord, there'll be a wake-up moment and an encounter moment with you today. Even now, they'll come back. Lord, thank you that you're taking us on a journey, and that part of that journey is that we will move building at some point. Part of that journey is that we will change. But Lord, whatever you're asking us to do, we choose to trust you for everything that we need. The finances, the resources, the energy, the strength, the ability to do that. Lord, we pray for those four anchors, that we will be anchored in you. Those anchors will be strong and keep us from despair. So, Lord, thank you for all that you're going to do. And we love you so much, Jesus. We love you that you're in our boat and that you're taking us to a place like Rome, where we're going to stand and declare who you are, that this church will do that. That this church is called to speak into the nation and the nations, and we will do that in Jesus' name. Amen.